why parts of the North Atlantic are up for auction today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's a big auction today off the ocean off of Massachusetts. The Interior Department is selling access to federal waters so that businesses can build wind farms. This is more than an auction. It's a new era. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
One after another, eastern states are committing to offshore energy because it's clean and it's cheap. Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. And wind companies are eager to build, says analyst Tom Harris at Bloomberg New Energy Finance.
If we look out until maybe the year 2030, the U.S. is on line to become a sort of top 5 to top 10 market in offshore wind.
Wind energy costs have plummeted. Giant turbines are gianter and more efficient, and loans are cheaper as lenders get more comfortable. Now, you may ask, a big push for wind energy in the Trump administration? Mike O'Boyle of the research group Energy Innovation says it fits within the political frame of energy dominance and energy jobs.
For blue-collar workers in factories helping to assemble these massive blades that are larger than a football field.
Offshore wind was once mostly a European thing. Now it's coming to coastal cities in the U.S. and Asia because land is scarce and energy use is high. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's do the mixed numbers. The S&P future is up just slightly. The Dow future is down less than a tenth percent. London's FTSE is down a tenth percent. The dollar's down below 114 to the euro. The lame duck Congress, in a rare spasm of bipartisanship, is set to agree on criminal justice reform. Enough votes are pledged, with a vote in the Senate likely by year's end. Among the many provisions here, the bill would shift thousands of federal inmates into transitional programs like halfway houses. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
Current prison inmates who've demonstrated good behavior or undergone job training or counseling programs could retroactively accrue various early release credits, making many suddenly eligible to stay supervised but out of prison. Or at least that's the idea.
We were very concerned that you might have a number of people who are eligible for pre-release custody, one of which is halfway houses, but wouldn't have a place to go.
Sakira Cook directs the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, which supports the bill. The Justice Department estimated 2 years ago halfway houses were over 100% full, before cuts last year.
Currently, we have a serious shortage.
Jessica Jackson of Cut 50, a criminal justice group, she says the current bill requires prison officials to find transitional housing for eligible inmates.
They have to have the contracts to do so.
That could also mean shifting more people to home confinement, currently used as a first option only about 4% of the time. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Now, say you are a bleary-eyed state official on the hunt for new revenue to pay the bills. Exhausted, end of the day, you see the words text messages and they start to morph into tax messages. There's news that California regulators are proposing a tax on phone text messages, not per text, but a surcharge on the monthly bill. Mobile phone companies are opposed, with a vote in the California Public Utilities Commission next month. Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. That's why Marketplace tells the stories behind the numbers, stories of real people, of businesses both big and small, and of the impact the economy has on each of us. Because you appreciate this kind of public service journalism, we're asking you to give something back. Donate today at marketplace.org, and your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. When you think about the big trends of the year that's just wrapping up, what comes to mind? Well, the Nintendo Switch game console was big. Hackers getting into our private data was a feature of 2018. But when you ask an expert on mergers and acquisitions, listen to what you get, a teachable moment about something important. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Hi, Eric.
Hello, David.
All right. Big trend of 2018 from your perspective is what?
Healthcare mergers. The healthcare industry, just about everybody's trying to merge with everybody else.
Well, I remember CVS and Aetna Insurance, Cigna Insurance and Express Scripts, PBM. I mean, all that's going on. This is pretty widespread in 2018.
Yes, and some of the mergers are, you know, a little bit unusual. I get it that one hospital chain wants to merge with another hospital chain, but a drugstore chain and an insurance chain, that one requires a little bit of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, not really horizontal mergers where you gobble up a like-minded company and remove some competition. It's more vertical where you get the whole chain of command there. I mean, what is really driving this? I mean, obviously, all companies want to cut costs, but there may be a high-tech new challenger here.
Yes, they're worried about Amazon. You know, Amazon has said they're getting into the business. They've got some kind of arrangement with J.P. Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway. Nobody's sure what they're doing, but everybody's afraid because Amazon is great at applying technology and new business models to industries that are behind the times. And is there any industry that's more behind the times in business models and technologies than healthcare? The answer is no. There is no industry further behind.
I mean, in the way they run the business. Often in healthcare, they use fancy scanners and stuff, but you're talking about the business.
Yeah, healthcare's weird. They have some of the highest tech equipment, very expensive, sophisticated equipment, but they run themselves like some kind of Charles Dickens business. They don't use technology or innovative business models on the business end.
Yes, be sure to have your health form notarized with a quill pen. Look, I'm not in the healthcare industry. What I care about is what I pay, the bills. Is this going to drive down my healthcare costs?
David, the companies are not fighting to lower our costs. They're trying to lower their own costs. And they always promise that that will trickle down to us. But when was the last time your health insurance premiums went down?
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. He knows his mergers and acquisitions. Eric, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Average annual costs of employer-sponsored family medical plans went up 5% this year. The average cost of one of the lower-cost Obamacare categories is set to drop 1.5% next year. Drop. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.